Welcome everyone to the 2019 Pro-Life Action Plan Call. This is Eric Scheitler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League, and I'm so glad to be joining this call by pro-life leaders from cities and towns all over the United States to discuss how we can work together this year to fight abortion. Before I give you an overview of the call and get into the meat of the program, I'd like to turn things over to a name that will be familiar to many of you, John Jansen, who is one of my colleagues here at the Pro-Life Action League. Many of you, I'm sure, if not all of you, have been with John through emails and through the phone and maybe even in person. I thought it would be kind of a treat to put a voice to that name and offer John the opportunity to provide an opening prayer for this phone conference. Take it away, John.
All right. Thank you, Eric. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, you are the author of all life, and we come before you this evening as your children, and we entrust our plans for this coming year for pro-life activism, for this plan, these plans that we have to fight abortion, to fight this evil, to fight this destruction of your precious unborn children. And we submit our plans to you, and we trust that you have the ultimate plan for each of us and for our work in pro-life activities and in all aspects of our lives. And so we entrust ourselves and our work and all that we are to you. We make this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father,
amen.
The Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, I'll give you an overview of this call. Again, I'm Eric Scheitler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League, and it's really my privilege to be with you on this call this evening to talk about our plans for the upcoming year. We're going to start with an update on Planned Parenthood and this year's plans for confronting them. I'll be talking with John some more about some of the details there and some of the things we've learned and what we're going to be doing going forward. Then I'll be having a conversation with Mark Harrington from the group Created Equal on Project Week Link that some of you may be familiar with and some of the plans for that this year that we're going to be working on all together. Then we'll hear from Monica Miller of Citizens for Society. She's going to be telling us about some burials in Michigan of some aborted babies and the significance of honoring these children. And then we'll have a conversation with Sean Carney of 40 Days for Life on a exciting nationwide candlelight vigil that Protest PP Coalition with Martin and Monica, myself, the Pro-Life Action League, and 40 Days for Life are co-sponsoring in April. And then you're going to hear from a fellow leader, Jim Fitzsimmons from Tempe, on how you can effectively recruit volunteers for your events. Finally, I will go through the 2019 schedule of nationwide events that we've got planned so you can mark your calendars and be ready to go for those things, and then we'll have your questions and comments on the plan of action. Now, I suggest that you have a pen and paper at hand to write down notes or questions, dates, and that sort of a thing, so that you can keep track of everything as we go. You should know this call is being recorded, and a link to the recording will be sent out tomorrow, along with some key notes from the call. That email will also include a pro-life leadership survey to provide you the opportunity to give additional feedback and to help me and my staff prepare for the year ahead. Now, before we get into the meat of the call, I know a lot of people's minds are on what happened in New York just a few days ago when they decided to go all in on Roe v. Wade on its anniversary to expand abortion access in New York to the very day of birth, to scrub out any restrictions on later-term abortions, and to really make New York the abortion capital of the United States of America. It's a sad occasion for New York because they actually started out as one of the very first abortion states. Planned Parenthood's first abortion ever was done in New York. And it's a sad thing to see, especially for the folks who are in New York. I mean, we work with a lot of leaders in New York State, and it's a really difficult thing to see. We're experiencing something kind of like that in Illinois, where on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, our governor signed an executive order making sure all the health plans will be examined for state employees to cover abortion to the maximum degree possible under our new law that funds abortion with taxpayer dollars. So we see these kinds of setbacks, and they can be very discouraging. But at the same time, we're seeing heartbeat legislation move forward in Ohio. We're seeing really an exciting lawsuit that would limit operation of abortion facilities in Louisiana, moving to the Supreme Court. So we also have some good things going on, good legislation at the state level especially. And so, you know, I think that shows that there's more of a divide in the country, that the blue states are becoming bluer, the red states redder, the conservatives more conservative, liberals more liberal. But we can't worry about all that. We're the pro-life people, and we just need to become more pro-life. We need to become more who we are and confront these problems, whether we're in red states, blue states, purple states, or whether, you know, politics goes this way or that. And that's what the plan of action is really all about. With the changes in Congress, especially, you know, on the national level, legislation is going to be the way forward. It's the case in many states. So we're activists. We're able to keep things moving no matter what. We can save babies today and tomorrow and the day after that by being present out in the public square. We can change hearts and minds. We can educate our fellow Americans. And so we're going to do all of that. And we're going to do it with a lot of hope and optimism and gratitude that God has given us so much work to do. It can be very difficult at times when we have these types of setbacks, but keeping things in a bigger perspective, it's really a wondrous thing to be included in God's army on this issue, to be you know, those who said yes to him and are following his path. So keep heart, especially you folks in New York and states like Illinois and California. All right, I'm going to ask John Jansen to come back on the call with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about Planned Parenthood and what's been going on with them, what has happened in the last year, and where things are going moving forward. John, we just had Planned Parenthood's latest annual report drop just a few days ago. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're learning, what are the highlights of that report, or the lowlights, maybe we could say.
Sure. Right, Eric. As you mentioned, Eric, it was just a few days ago that Planned Parenthood's annual report was released. And I think it has not gotten as much attention as it deserves at this point. It happened just after March for Life. It was the weekend directly following the March for Life that their annual report was released. This was, of course, right before January 22nd, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade and Roe v. Bolton, which obviously is a monumental impact of that date itself, and then also what happened in New York, as you just mentioned. And it kind of got, it seems like, kind of lost in the news cycle, perhaps. I don't think it's gotten as much attention from pro-lifers as it should have. What we know, there's a number of key takeaways from this latest annual report, which covers the 2017-2018 calendar year for Planned Parenthood. What we know is, first and foremost, Planned Parenthood abortion numbers are up. That's probably takeaway number one. Their abortion total for last year was 332,757. That's an increase from the year before of about 10 or 11%, I think. Looking back, though, taking a little bit longer view, since the year 2000, Planned Parenthood's abortion numbers are up 69%. Most people don't realize that. 69% increase in abortions since the year 2000. Even as the overall number of abortions nationwide has gone down, praise God for that, Planned Parenthood's abortion numbers have gone up. They've gone up pretty much every year, with one or two exceptions over the past decade. Planned Parenthood's abortion numbers have gone up every single year. Planned Parenthood controls 35% of the nation's abortion market. As many of those on our call will remember, fairly recently, Planned Parenthood's new CEO, Lena Wen, went on Twitter and declared that abortion is Planned Parenthood's core mission. Those were her words. And she's right. I mean, in a moment of candor, she said that abortion is Planned Parenthood's core mission, and she's definitely right. As we have often said at Pro-Life Action League and as other groups in the pro-life movement have said for many years, Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion chain. And as often as we can, when we talk about Planned Parenthood, we should hang that label around their necks. They are the nation's largest abortion chain. And Eric, as you have mentioned on many occasions in the past, you like to use the phrase abortion incorporated to refer to Planned Parenthood, and that's also a very apt description of who they are and what they do. So, abortion numbers way up. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two is that in almost every other category, Planned Parenthood's numbers for other services are down significantly. The overall number of services Planned Parenthood has done is down 11% in the past decade. Looking at a couple of examples, manual breast exams, down 65% in the past decade. That's manual breast exams. That's, of course, no mammograms. We know that Planned Parenthood does not and has never done any mammograms. Pap tests are another example, down 72% in the past decade. Prenatal services, down 49% since the year 2000. And many of their facilities don't offer prenatal services at all. Remember, this is an organization called Planned Parenthood, and that's how little priority they place on prenatal services. We also know that their adoption referrals are down 42% in the past decade. Currently, their ratio of adoption referrals for abortions is 118-1. So Planned Parenthood does 118 abortions for every one adoption referral that they make. The number of clients, Planned Parenthood's overall number of clients has dropped as well. Their total number of clients is down 20% in the past decade. 10 years ago, they were seeing about 3 million patients every year. Now it's about 2.4 million, even as the overall U.S. population has gone up. So Planned Parenthood's number of clients has gone down. Now, despite all this, and here's the really, you know, disheartening news, Planned Parenthood's net assets are up. Their private donations are way up, in fact. Planned Parenthood brought in $100 million more last year in private donations compared to the previous year. And their government funding is up as well. They received $20 million more in government grants and reimbursements versus the previous year. So as we all know, those of us who have been involved in pro-life activities for any length of time, we know that, you know, this is very much a David and Goliath battle. You know, we don't have anywhere close to the amount of money that Planned Parenthood has. They've got the purse strings, but that's what we're up against. It's important to know, you know, who it is that we're up against.
Right. Well, it's enlightening when these reports come out. You know, it's always a really interesting kind of perspective on the belly of the beast that we're seeing here. And we're going to be, I know, working with some of our resources and so forth with some of the new numbers we've seen. It'll be especially interesting to see next year how that report changes with some of the shifts that are happening now, including their loss of Title X funding. That's something I think listeners might want to remember, the fact that back in April, the protest PP rallies that we organized at over 150 locations around the country were brought to President Trump in the Oval Office by Kellyanne Conway, his aide, as she was making the case for him to adopt these new Title X rules that are going to block Planned Parenthood from $60 to $80 million a year. It was the protests that were one of the key pieces of evidence that this is supported by the voters, by those pro-life voters especially who Trump is accountable to. And then those rules went forward. So that's a tremendously encouraging victory for pro-life activism, that we were able to play this very direct role in causing public policy to change because we were out there on the streets. Moving forward, though, it's going to be virtually impossible to strip any of the remaining federal funding because of the pro-abortion control of the House of Representatives now. And that's really where activism comes in, the kind of activism that we do day in, day out, no matter who's in office, no matter what the legislation is. And this year at the Pro-Life Action, we're particularly making a new thrust to protest these Planned Parenthood fundraisers and trivia nights and Roe versus Wade celebrations, another type of events. And John, why don't you tell everybody on the call a little bit about what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 17th to advance this program?
Right. Well, the night before the March for Life, this past year, just a couple weeks ago, on January 17th in Washington, the Pro-Life Action League sponsored a seminar on how to protest a Planned Parenthood fundraiser. And I've attended numerous pro-life, you know, seminars and training events over the years. This was definitely one of my favorites that I've attended. It was attended by pro-life activists from all across the country, from the East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, North, South, everywhere. People came and they were really hungry for information and ideas, creative ideas on how to protest the nation's largest abortion pain. It was a really great seminar, Eric, that you gave, and a PowerPoint presentation that went with it. What we did when we first put out the call about this and said this is going to happen, you know, and we encouraged people to sign up for it, We started getting sign-ups right away, of course. We also heard from a lot of people who were not able to make it, and they said, you know, could you please record this and, you know, make this information available? So in response to that popular demand, we did record it. We video recorded it along with the PowerPoint as well. So we've done that, and we've uploaded it to YouTube, and it's there now. We'll be sending out a link to that training seminar with tomorrow's follow-up email that Eric referred to earlier. So many of you on the call, I think, probably were there at the seminar. You know how great it was. But if you weren't there, never fear. We are going to be able to give you information, and you'll be able to watch the seminar itself. Along with that, in conjunction with the seminar held itself, we also created an entire new action page on the Pro-Life Action League's website, prolifeaction.org, focusing specifically on protesting Planned Parenthood fundraisers. So walk through all the steps necessary to how to conduct a protest, how to deal with police, how to deal with potential counter-demonstrators, public property versus private property, things like that. So very, very detailed. So often we hear from people saying, you know, they want to do a protest, their heart's in the right place, but they don't really know what to do. So we walk you through the steps of how to do that, and to focus particularly on a Planned Parenthood fundraiser, which is a little bit different event than some other type of event that they might be holding. Also unveiled at the seminar was our newest sign. We've been producing pro-life signs for many years that are suitable for use in pro-life demonstrations and protests, things that say like Planned Parenthood Lies to You, Stop Abortion Now, Moms for Life, Dads for Life. The newest sign that we created that we unveiled at this training seminar a couple weeks ago has a very simple message. It says, abortion is nothing to celebrate. And we gave some of those away at our seminar, and they're now available on the Pro-Life Action League store. So if any of you on the call but wanted to listen to that or wanted to get some of those signs, we definitely encourage you to do that. And it's really the perfect sign to use at a Planned Parenthood fundraiser, because that's the central message that we have, is that people who are going to a Planned Parenthood fundraiser, they're celebrating abortion because they are contributing money and celebrating the nation's largest abortion chain. Our message is very simple. Abortion is nothing to celebrate.
Now, John, also debuting at that seminar was a new video we put together as well, asking the question, does protesting abortion really make any difference? As you can imagine, as the head of an organization that specializes in protesting abortion, my answer is going to be yes. But that video goes through five key reasons for why protesting abortion really does make a difference. And I wanted to just mention that to everybody on the call, because that could be a very useful tool for you as you're recruiting people, as you're trying to make the case to other, maybe the Knights of Columbus or the Rosary Group or whatever, people who maybe aren't very pro-life but aren't really recognizing the value of these kinds of protests. So I check out that video. You can find it on our Facebook page at Pro-Life Action. You can find it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/prolifeaction. We're going to send out a link to it as well with the follow-up to this call. So that can be a really helpful tool for you. That said, protest is not our only option when it comes to dealing with Planned Parenthood, and we're planning a more prayer-focused event, a candlelight vigil in April, coming up at Planned Parenthood locations across the country as this year's Protest PP event, which is kind of an interesting new twist. I'll be talking about that with Sean Carney of 40 Days for Life, who's co-sponsoring that with us in just a little bit. And finally, another plan we've got going that, again, is a little different from protest, more of an education outreach, is what we're calling the Planned Parenthood Education Task Force. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Planned Parenthood Education Task Force that we'll be unveiling a little later this year.
Right. This is something that we're really excited about at Pro-Life Action League. Many of you who are on the call ordered some new brochures that we had produced last year titled Getting to Know Planned Parenthood. It's a small pink brochure. Many of you know pink is Planned Parenthood's color. And this brochure says simply Getting to Know Planned Parenthood in the typeface that they use on all their branding and their logo and everything. And the idea behind this was to create what we consider a stealth flyer, something that on its outside looks like it's a piece of literature produced by Planned Parenthood. And the idea that we're going to take these literature pieces and we're going to equip pro-life activists all across the country with stacks of these brochures, these Getting to Know Planned Parenthood brochures, and new pink T-shirts that we're going to be designing that are going to, again, Planned Parenthood's color is pink. It's going to look like the pro-life activists who are going to be going out into city centers and college campuses and concerts and wherever, you know, people are in large numbers, wherever the general public is in large numbers. It's going to look at first glance as if they're from Planned Parenthood. But the idea is this is a literature piece that's designed to get, you know, to tell the truth about Planned Parenthood, to tell the truth that they are the nation's largest abortion chain, to tell the truth that they have almost no real role in health care in our country. And so that's going to be the two prongs of the Planned Parenthood Education Task Force that we have planned for this year, and something we're really, really excited about.
John, I'm really especially excited about that one because, you know, we've been down protesting and doing our Face of Truth tours and doing other activities in downtown Chicago, and we've seen the Planned Parenthood workers out there in front of the Art Institute and in front of the train stations with their clipboard and their iPads, and I just am relishing the opportunity to enter into that same venue and, you know, and be able to get material out to people without them really knowing what's hit them until later. And, you know, it's a really clever way to educate people and, you know, and it's just what we're doing, the Pro-Life Education Task Force on Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to turn now to talking a little bit more about one of the issues that we were just talking about, the candlelight vigil that's going to be taking place at Planned Parenthood facilities all over the country. We wanted to do something a little bit different. The timing and the date of Easter played a role in all of this, and our recognition of the importance of the 40 Days for Life campaign, and typically we've done protest PP events during the month of April. And so we decided to, you know, right in the heart of 40 Days for Life, so we decided to reach out to our friends at 40 Days for Life and to see if there wasn't something we could do together in this kind of a way to, you know, unite the protest PP thing with what's going on with prayer. And so I would like now to introduce Sean Carney, the president of 40 Days for Life, to discuss this exciting new twist to the 4th Annual Day of Prayer and Protest Against Planned Parenthood, that nationwide candlelight vigil that will be coming on Saturday, April 13th. Sean, so glad you could join
us. Thanks, Eric. It's good to be on. It's great to have you, Sean. Before we talk about our collaboration on this year's Protest PP event, I wanted to ask if you've got any comments on the annual report that Planned Parenthood just released this week that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I mean, that should definitely serve as a motivation to protest Planned Parenthood or to participate in 40 Days for Life. I mean, it's more of the same. It's the same stuff. Their abortions are up. They did more abortions with more tax dollars than they've ever done, and their other services that typically they use to sell themselves on went down. But this should motivate us. It should get us out to the sidewalk.
Well, one of those activities that a report like this and those staggering abortion numbers should motivate us to get involved with is this sort of a collaboration coming up between Protest PP, the coalition the Pro-Life Action League is in with Citizens for Pro-Life Society and Created Equal, and the 40 Days for Life team this year, an exciting and kind of different nationwide event. Why don't you tell everybody on the call a little bit about what's coming up?
Well, you know, the protest PP will happen. I think there'll be more motivation to oppose Planned Parenthood than ever before. And one of the reasons is something that the pro-life movement has not had is a major motion picture that's being released that exposes the truth of abortion, exposes the truth of Planned Parenthood. And that's Unplanned the movie. It's a very powerful movie. I've seen it twice. I know a lot of folks haven't had a chance to screen it yet. But it is not a passive movie. It directly takes on abortion. It shows two abortions. And I think it's a shot in the arm. I was surprised, frankly, of how much they went after Planned Parenthood and the things they were willing to share about Planned Parenthood in a movie. They're all true. The movie's accurate. But when push came to shove, Chuck and Carrie did a great service to the pro-life movement by putting the truth in there and not backing down.
So we're going to be doing something together on just a little while after the movie comes out, and we discussed the timing for this. Why don't you tell everybody what's going to be taking place on Saturday, April 13th, that they might want to participate in?
Well, that will be the protest Planned Parenthood, and I got to say, Eric, you've done a great job with this since 2015 of getting, and 40 Days for Life has seen it, new people, it's like the outrage we were just talking about, new people sort of being pushed over the line going, you know, I've always wanted to go out and pray at an abortion facility. I've always wanted to go to a pro-life rally, but I've never done it. And that's the great opportunity for 40 Days for Life leaders is that April 13th event, is using that towards the end of the campaign to get new people out. Maybe they'll come back during the fall 40 Days for Life campaign, but maybe they'll see the movie and they'll just want an opportunity to go out there when there's a lot of people out there. And so it's a wonderful collaboration. It's bad for Planned Parenthood, and it just continues to shine the light on this evil organization. And the least we can do is show up for an hour that Saturday or a couple hours or you know, to invite somebody who's never been out before, a relative, a friend, a coworker, and go out and be part of this. It's a great event.
And this is an event that's going to be a little bit different from some of the protest PP stuff we've done in the past, where it's not so much of a protest, even though it's under that name, that hashtag protest PP that's so well known. But a prayerful event, a nationwide candlelight vigil that's taking place with a real focus on prayer. And you know, we've kind of conceived of this as a potential midpoint event for 40 Days for Life leaders that are doing that as well, or as a perfect sort of standalone prayer event that is, you know, an invitation to people who maybe aren't quite ready to come out with, you know, a protest per se, but rather something that's you know, focused more on a kind of a prayer and less of a confrontation and more of a really appealing to, you know, to God to, you know, to bring us the kind of healing and the kind of motivation that we need to confront the evil that we're seeing in the unplanned movie and that we're seeing in the Planned Parenthood annual report.
Yeah, and, you know, the protest Planned Parenthood events have never been confrontational or anything. It's just a further emphasis on prayer. And you know, we just had we're mourning on 46 years of legalized abortion on January 22nd, and then we just get the announcement that New York is taking advantage of what Roe v. Wade allows, which is aborting children through all 9 months. States regulate that. New York no longer will. And they can abort a child up to the day of his or her birth. And that is, it's breaking a lot of hearts, but it's waking a lot of people up on social media and in the news. I mean, you have so-called pro-choice people. The pro-abortion people are sitting here going, I don't think you should have an abortion to the day before your child is born. I mean, and the response to that is, God help us. I mean, God help us. When you read, if you see the celebration when they pass this law, if you just read it, there has to come a point when we as Catholic Americans, Christians in America, we have to fall on our knees and turn to God. I mean, we are slaughtering 3,000 children every single day. And that I think is the basic response when you go out to a protest Planned Parenthood, or you go out to a 40 Days for Life, is God help us. You know, not in a cynical way, but God actually help us. Bless our nation. Forgive us. We need your mercy. And this is a great positive way to do that on April 13th. So I encourage folks, obviously 40 Days for Life starts on March the 6th, and people can go to their 40 Days for Life campaign, you know, whenever they want, and sign up for hours on our website. But you definitely got to go out on April the 13th. It has a tremendous impact.
Well, thanks so much for your kind words, and I really appreciate your coming on and sharing some words of encouragement with us, and I want to wish you and the 40 Days for Life team the greatest blessings through 2019.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
Will do. All right.
So I hope you all are fired up about the opportunity to kind of unite whatever work you may be doing with 40 Days for Life and this opportunity to be doing something under the Protest PP banner that's a little different this year and that will really work well with the plans you've already got in place. All right, now I'm going to turn to my good friend and fellow pro-life activist, Monica Miller, to talk about a very important part of our pro-life ministry. I think maybe sometimes is overlooked, as we focus on legislation, as we focus on, you know, direct action to save lives and public education, there's also the sort of spiritual responsibility we have to the unborn child, and specifically burying the dead. Burying the dead has always been recognized as a very special act of solidarity with them. Even the pagan Greeks recognize this in Sophocles' play Antigone, where Antigone gets in trouble for trying to bury her brother. In the Catholic faith, burying the dead is a corporal work of mercy. So it's no exaggeration to say that this is an important area that we really need to focus on, and there's nobody who has buried more of our unborn brothers and sisters than Monica Miller of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. Monica is joining us now to talk about one of the most, the very most recent burials that have taken place near Detroit and how we can honor the aborted unborn. Monica, please tell us about the burials that took place last year in Southfield and Brighton, how you came to recover the bodies and made the arrangements and what took place.
Well, right. Thank you so much, Eric. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to make a contribution to this call. Right. We buried 15 aborted babies in two separate funeral ceremonies, the first on November 3rd and then the second one on November 23rd. And, of course, as you've mentioned, this is not my first time planning and organizing for the actual funerals and burials for aborted babies. But anyway, in terms of what happened most recently, actually about 3 years ago, there was an abortionist in Michigan by the name of Michael Roth. Michael Roth had lost his lease in a building where he had an abortion clinic for literally decades. It may be that he lost his lease because there was a protest outside of the building that was organized by Lynn Mills of Pro-Life Michigan. In any case, he lost his lease, and it's kind of a mystery as to why. But in any case, he was running around Oakland County, Michigan, trying to find another place to set up his killing practice. And again, Lynn Mills was very vigilant and was able to track where he was going by simply calling the phone number to the clinic, because the phone number was still in existence. And then she would be able to find out where he intended to go. And she would talk to the landlords, and at least twice, landlords, once they got wind of what he was really, all about, not just a gynecological office or whatever, that he was actually going to be doing abortions, they rescinded the lease agreements. So in September of 2017, I believe it was, or actually, no, 2015, so this is starting to go a ways back, Michael Roth was involved in a car accident in Oakland County. And as a consequence of the accident, because a pedestrian, he had hit a pedestrian, there wasn't a fatality, thankfully, but the car was impounded by the West Bloomfield Police Department. When they searched the vehicle, they found in the trunk of the car specimen jars that contained aborted babies. Plus, there was equipment, suction machine equipment, suction cannulas, and medications that are used for abortions. So it was very obvious that this was an abortionist without a clinic, and so he was doing abortions in people's homes, possibly hotel rooms, and the like. The aborted babies were placed in the Oakland County Medical Examiner's office. And I knew from all of the news reports that is where the babies were being kept, pending the trial of Michael Roth. The trial took months and months to finally wind its way through the legal system. And I had put in many requests to the Oakland County Medical Examiner, the detective that was involved with the case. And I finally went through the Michigan Attorney General's office. The actual prosecutor on the case, Gregory Townsend, finally, after the case was resolved and he was convicted. The bodies were put entrusted to us, and we were able to provide the burials for these babies. Who knows what would have happened to them? I mean, who knows how the medical examiner would have quote unquote disposed of these aborted babies. These were abortions in very early trimester abortions. We have taken photographs of some of the victims, and those would be the newest abortion victim photos within the movement. Would be the photos that we have of those babies. We have not yet put them up on the website, where we have galleries of the abortion victim photos. Mm-hmm. But imagesofabortion.com, if anybody wants to take a look at what we've done, imagesofabortion.com is the website. Now, here's the thing that I want to impress on everybody who's on this call. To bury the unborn is a very, very special work, and moreover, it's a very peculiar kind of work, because we are in a Holocaust of incredible proportions, and we are dealing, of course, now with 60 million plus, and that's maybe even a conservative approximation, of unborn babies that have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. A tiny fraction of the victims of Roe v. Wade have managed to find their way into a real human cemetery. And I feel that what this means when we bury the victims of abortion is that this is something that truly draws attention to the reality of abortion. Of course, the abortion victim photos do that, but these are not symbolic burial services. These are real human beings who were once they lived once, and then they were put to death. And when we have these burials, it really is a witness, and at the same time, a kind of indictment of our national crime, that our landscape in America, for the first time in the history of the human race, really, our landscape, our world, is punctured by the graves of these innocent, helpless victims who perished by an edict of the government, the Roe versus Wade law. And it really draws attention to the truth and to the reality and the tragedy and the injustice of abortion in a very, very remarkable kind of way. And then, on top of all of that, these are places, and I've experienced it myself, I've witnessed it myself, for women who have had abortions, this is a place for them to have a certain kind of closure, an actual place where unborn children are actually buried, is a place for them to actually bring their grief and bring their mourning. When we've had these memorial services for the National Day of Remembrance, women are coming to these services, and that's exactly what they say to me. This is a memorial service for my baby that I aborted sometimes 20, 30 years ago. That's how intense this experience is for the women who have aborted their babies. But that's why it's important for us to have these services every year, to draw attention to the truth and to the reality and the tragedy and the injustice of abortion. And, you know, what happens to 60 million dead people? I mean, where did they go? they're in our landfills, and they're in our sewer lines, and burnt up in incinerators, and that, sadly, that's America, and that's the truth that we have to deal with, and that's the thing that we have to have a heartfelt repentance about. But thankfully, in the providence of God, a small fraction of these babies managed to find their way into a cemetery. And so I hope, you know, just my little speech here helps the listeners on this call to kind of have a better idea of the importance of and the significance, right, the significance of the burial of the victims of abortion.
Well, thank you so much, Monica, for sharing that experience and also your reflections on the importance of these kinds of events. And just as a reminder for everybody, the National Day of Remembrance this year will be taking place on Saturday, September 14th. And it's not too early to start preparing, especially if you want to invite your local Catholic bishop or other prominent local clergy to attend that. Thanks again, Monica, for coming on. And as to the question of where are those bodies, where did they go, I'd like to turn to our next guest, Mark Harrington from the group Created Equal, because in some sense he can answer that question for us. Many folks on the call might have been following this Project Week link that Created Equal has been pursuing for a couple of years now, focusing especially on the medical waste company Stericycle, one of Planned Parenthood's key partners, one of their aiders and abettors in their killing operation against unborn children. This year, the Pro-Life Action League is collaborating with Created Equal on a whole new phase of Project Week Link, and I'd like to welcome Created Equal's Mark Harrington onto the call now to tell us about this project and how all of you can take part. Are you with us, Mark?
Yes, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. It's great to have you on the call. Why don't you tell us about Project Week Link and where you got the name, the inspiration, and some of what's happened already with this project?
Well, the genesis of the project started in 2015 when David DeLeiden and the Center for Medical Progress released those undercover videos that we're all familiar with. Some of those videos, however, were not released. They were under court order. The National Abortion Federation sued to keep those from coming out, but they leaked, and they were released in December of 2015, and they showed at a National Abortion Federation conference, Renee Chilian, who's an abortion facility owner in Michigan, talking about how the medical waste companies were the, quote, that the abortion clinics were one incinerator company away from being shut down. And there was, it was the weak link right there from the abortionists themselves, basically saying it, without the incineration companies, without these bio-waste companies or these haulers, the abortion industry would collapse. And so when I saw that video, I thought, my goodness, I mean, she's giving us a way forward here. And then soon after that, our Attorney General here in Ohio, Michael DeWine, investigated Planned Parenthood, as did many states, and did not find that Planned Parenthood was selling body parts to the state of Ohio, but they did find that Stericycle, the worldwide largest medical waste company in the world, they had been dumping aborted babies into landfills in Ohio. And so I put the two together, and Stericycle seems to be the biggest medical waste company, and if the abortion industry is one incinerator company away from being shut down, why don't we target them? Why don't we raise awareness? And that's what we did. We launched the campaign Project Weak Link, is, you know, the weak link being the medical waste companies. When we came up to your neck of the woods there in Lake Forest, Illinois, you helped us with your folks, went out and flyer door to door to try to bring some attention to the CEO and some of the board of directors. And within days, they launched a lawsuit against Created Equal because they said that we were, you know, violating, you know, laws of, you know, like harassment and false light and intentional infliction of emotional distress and all these other things. Thanks to the good work of the Thomas More Society, we won that lawsuit. But in the pleadings, they admitted that they had ceased contracts with over 400 abortion centers across America, which was very amazing to us. I mean, without the lawsuit, we wouldn't have known that. So Stericycle, because of Project Week Link, because of David DeLeiden's work, because of the exposure in the state of Ohio with our Attorney General, had ceased contracts with 400 abortion clinics in America. However, as you know, just there in Aurora, Illinois, Stericycle is still showing up at some of these places. We get video and pictures quite often sent to us that Stericycle is still picking up. Now, they refuse to admit that they're picking up aborted fetuses. They say they're picking up non-abortion-related medical waste. We don't particularly believe that, and the fact of the matter is it really doesn't matter, honestly. Any enabler of the abortion industry, you know, is a co-spirator in that. So we believe whether they are picking up fetal remains or not, they're still an enabler, and they're in we're going to continue to put pressure on them. So along with that, by the way, just as a side note, Project Weak Link has also been able to shut down or at least get other these medical waste companies to quit. There's been maybe about a half dozen more that have quit that we know of. So we've had some real success. For an example here with Stericycle, their stock, for an example, their stock that's traded on the New York Stock Exchange, since 2015 has dropped 75 points. They've lost 61% of their value on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, you know, the Bible says that you shall reap what you sow, right? And my point is to Charles Aluta, the CEO of Stericycle, being involved with the abortion industry is bad business. I mean, set aside the moral issues, it's bad business for you. It's bad overall, and it has not helped with their stock. I mean, it's been plummeting ever since this whole thing came to light. So basically what we're doing now is we're going to be continuing to focus on Stericycle and some of these smaller mom-and-pop, if you will, operations, these local and regional medical waste companies. We have right now two complaints that we're lobbying here in the state of Ohio against Stericycle in Toledo, the Toledo Abortion Clinic, and the one in Kettering with Dr. Martin Haskell. So what goes kind of hand in glove with this whole medical waste exposure thing is you catch them doing things that are illegal, and you can file complaints with the Board of Health or the EPA, and so we've been able to get actual judgments against medical waste companies along the way. But we're really looking forward to stepping this up in 2019, along with you and others, to protest Stericycle nationally. And the point is we've been putting pressure on them for now over 3 years. They have modified their behavior, but they have yet to pull out altogether. And I think if we could get Stericycle to back down, it would be a death blow to Planned Parenthood and many others that rely on them to dispose of the aborted babies. So along with you and others, we're going to be protesting Stericycle nationally on May 24th, and I'm sure you'll be able to give more details to your listeners tonight and bring national attention to this. Because I can tell you this, they don't like bad publicity. No company does. And Stericycle doesn't like it. That's why they tried to sue us. And they're very, very susceptible to that kind of thing. And so I think this is just the next step. We've got to go national with a protest of Stericycle and draw attention to the grisly trade that they're involved with by enabling the abortion cartel. So I think 2019 should be a big year for Project Weak Link, and hopefully we can get Stericycle to cease all involvement with the abortion cartel.
I'm really looking forward to this nationwide Stericycle protest. It's along the same lines as the protest PP stuff we've done nationwide and some of the other things like this. And yet it's completely new and different, going after a completely different angle of the abortion industry. Listeners may be surprised to learn just how many locations for Stericycle there are. I mean, you mentioned Aurora. Well, we know where the Aurora station is, where the trucks mm-hmm. come and go. And we're going to be out there. We're going to be out there at all these different places. And a lot of them are in, like, industrial parks and stuff. It's sort of an unusual location. So that's going to be really fun and creative, kind of a new kind of activism for everybody. But we've seen how responsive they are. I mean, you forwarded the letters to me that they sent. I think that this is exactly the kind of thing they hate, especially with their stock doing so badly. So this is a real opportunity to, you know, to really strike a blow at Stericycle, Stericycle's relationship with Planned Parenthood. You know, because
absolutely,
it would be just such a huge coup. It would it could really make it difficult for them to stay in business.
Well, one of the arguments is, Eric, if I might, is that a lot of people will say, well, they're just going to find another company. And I'll say, well, let them find another company. Eventually, they'll run out of them. Vicky Supporter, let me leave with you with this quote from the National Abortion Federation. She's the president. She said this quote. This is on NPR. She said, quote, there are very few companies that do what Stericycle did. And when companies like Stericycle give in to the harassment, that's us, apparently, of anti-choice proponents, it puts an unfair burden on abortion providers. And I'm like, exactly. That's the point. So, you know, from her mouth to God's ears, right? We can hope that this is true, and we're going to continue pressuring these medical waste companies, who I believe are the weak link to bringing this whole thing down.
Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on to share with us about that. And I look forward to working with you guys on this project. And I'm sure everybody else on the call is fired up now, too, to be part of what could be, you know, one of the most exciting things happening in pro-life activism this year.
Well, God bless you, Eric. And by the way, stay warm. Stay warm.
Yeah, I'll try, man. It's going to be minus 25 or something out here.
All right, good night.
All right. Next, we're going to turn to one of our local leaders, Jim Fitzsimmons, is out of Tempe, Arizona.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi. Hello?
And, you know, if you're going to do one of those events, any of the type of stuff we've been talking about, you really need to get volunteers to turn out. That's the key, having that group of people who will do things with you and keep doing them with you. So I've invited Jim to join us to talk about some of the success he's had with that in Tempe. Jim, you're the leader of the 40 Days for Life campaign and have been involved with so much of the stuff we've done. I'd like to know, before we get into the, you know, the nuts and bolts of what you're doing, how did you get involved in pro-life activism in the first place?
Well, Eric, I'm a post-abortive father who lost my first child to abortion many years ago. And I wrote about this experience and, you know, some of the consequences and the pain and the beginning of the healing process when I was attending a class down at the Diocese of Phoenix at the Keno Catechetical Institute. And one of the instructors there had encouraged me to get involved with pro-life efforts, and that's one thing led to another, and here I am.
Well, that's a really moving story. To see that this kind of activism gives you the opportunity to you kind of respond to the sorrow of that child, you know, the loss of that child in your life. That's a beautiful thing. You know, you and I, Jim, have collaborated on nationwide events like Protest PP stuff, the Way of the Cross, in terms of abortion, the Peace in the Womb, Christmas caroling. How did you first get connected to the Pro-Life Action League and some of these events that we've been doing? Was it with Protest PP or some other channel?
No, it actually was with Protest PP. I got involved in the pro-life movement a couple of years ago after that experience at the Keno Catechetical Institute, and I signed up to lead a 40 Days for Life campaign, and through that process, I reached out to some of the other former leaders and was able to connect with Lisa Blevins. Lisa Blevins was the former leader in Tempe, and last year she was the 2018 National 40 Days for Life Leader of the Year. And as I was kind of preparing for 40 Days for Life, she was leading the Protest PP, so that's what initially kind of got me going into it. And then later that year, she also introduced me to the Peace in the Room Christmas caroling event.
Wonderful. Well, God bless her for putting you in touch with us and making that all those connections. In looking back on the stuff that you've been doing, I've been really impressed with the turnout you've been able to garner for your pro-life events. And you know, that's something that's always really impressive to me, because I know from my own experience on the ground that that can be really hard to do sometimes. How are you getting volunteers to come out and join you on the front lines, come out for these kinds of things, peace in the womb and the way of the cross and protest PP?
Well, thanks, first of all. And second, a lot of prayer. When I first met with Lisa, she suggested that I spend as much time in prayer and adoration as I did, you know, trying to bring people out to the sidewalk and being out the sidewalk myself. And it was the best advice she could have given me. So first, any successes that we have with our campaign, you know, all the, it's a result of a lot of prayer, and all the glory goes to God. Second, and I suppose the most straightforward answer to your question, we use the tools that you give us, particularly the customizable flyers, the bulletin announcements, the email templates, and then the press releases. We actually send all of them out at different times to our entire email list, and we ask the church and the group leaders to make announcements, post the flyers, and share the information. And everyone else we ask just to mark their calendars and invite our folks to join them. We try to start promoting the different events anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks prior. And we'll send out kind of an email a week leading up to the event. And then the week of the event, we'll send out two or three and include, you know, parking and information and sidewalk etiquette types of things. We will utilize a MailChimp account for all of our email blasts. It's free. It lets us include pictures and videos, and it lets us send out to our entire email database kind of in one blast as opposed to many. Now, to build up our email database, we have to get out and invite folks. So during the lead-up to the 40 Days for Life campaigns, and over the summer and then between events also, we'll do reach out to the different parishes and churches. We introduce ourselves to the pastors, Respect Life coordinators, Knights of Columbus councils, sometimes even to the men's groups and the women's groups. We share a little bit of information about the campaign, and we invite folks to participate, and then we add those folks to our database. When we get a particular group that's, you know, really enthusiastic, we'll ask if we can present to the rest of their entire group. And then when we get churches that are enthusiastic, we ask permission to do sign-up and promotional events after the weekend masses. So during those, we'll ask the priest or the pastor to say a few words kind of promoting either the event or the campaign. And then we'll be outside at tables to sign up participants and, you know, do our promotion out there. We have a really simple technique that we utilize out at those outreach tables. It kind of really helped us maximize signups. It improved our efforts, you know, 200-300% over the last few years. And with that, we were able to increase our database from a few hundred to, you know, 1,100, 1,200, you know, in a relatively short period of time. I won't go into all that stuff now, but it kind of involves the way that we position ourselves at the table and keeping our message really simple and specific, and, of course, being really friendly and smiling. If ever anyone is interested in those techniques, they can just reach out to me via email or telephone. I'm sure they can get that through you there. When I was preparing kind of for a conversation, I reached out to some of the other folks that were around and asked for their feedback on it, why they got involved, what was important to them. And the most important thing, and I think it was rather overwhelming, was being positive, friendly, and upbeat in personal outreach. In other words, when we were out at our events or when we were reaching out to people with emails, or talking to people in person, we kept things very friendly and smiling and, again, upbeat. You know, abortion's a very dark and evil and scary type of a thing, and it can be really, really hard and uncomfortable for people to talk about. But the pro-life movement is, you know, light in that darkness. It's positive. It's freeing. And pro-life people are absolutely amazing to be in touch with. So when we get the opportunity kind of to convey that message of hope and joy. And if we do it in that friendly demeanor, you really invite folks to come on out, and it's rather infectious. It gets them more involved, and it gets them wanting to participate and join us, and really is a basis for some really great friendships. We also ask people for a lot of help. Sometimes asking for help, I think, from different people in different organizations can be a little bit harder or intimidating for folks. For me, it was really easy because I came in, you know, really green and knowing absolutely nothing, and I had to ask everybody for a lot of help. And there's so much information that's out there, and there's so many people, great leaders and really passionate participants that are really ready and willing to help. But we got to ask them. And then when we do ask them and they do help, I think it's really important that we give them all the credit, and both personally and publicly. And, you know, there's it's all about kind of the mission. It's not about, you know, any sort of individual types of achievement. And then we encourage everyone to personally reach out to other members of their parishes or their communities and their groups and personally invite them to come on out and join us. At the beginning of almost every campaign and most of our events, we ask people to invite, you know, 10 people from their group to, or 10 people from the parish to come on out and join us to try to bring new folks out there. And then when they do bring those new folks out there, we try to get all their information and get them signed up so we can add them to our email list and continue to invite them out to other events and such like that as well. And then sort of periodically throughout the year, we cross-promote other pro-life events. It kind of allows us to stay in touch with our core group. And also we can get out to those events and sign up new people there as well.
Well, Jim, that's just an amazing example of good organization and using the tools that are available and kind of humbly putting yourself out there as somebody who's willing to lead and organize it. I'm really impressed with what you've done, and even more so learning more about the details on this call. Of all the things you said, I think what really struck me and I think is something everyone should take to heart is this idea of making this appeal to people to get involved. In a kind of joyous way, in a way that, you know, really gives them an opportunity to do something of value and that has that sense of charity and of hopefulness in it. Because I think that's really what attracts people. You know, abortion is a very difficult thing to think about and be involved with in any way. And that's just, that's reality. That's where we start from. That's the benchmark. That's the fallen world we're in. But in response to that, we bring the joy of the gospel, the love of Christ, the charity of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and I'm really so grateful for the example of that you've presented and shown with us. Thanks so much for coming on the call.
Absolutely, my pleasure, Eric. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, keep up the good work in Tempe, and I hope everyone on this call is really inspired by what you've shared with us, and will begin to implement some of those really concrete, you know, tools that you're using and taking everybody's name down and cross-pollinating with other events and so forth. Speaking of events, I'd like to quickly run through our calendar of events for this year. I realize this call has gone a little long now, and I don't want to keep people up and away from their families. So I'm going to run through these questions or through these dates, and then we'll have just a few moments for questions, and then we'll bring this call to a close, and we'll share notes from everything with everybody tomorrow. So here's the schedule for 2019. Again, this will be in your email you get tomorrow. Wednesday, March 6th, we'll launch the annual Lenten prayer campaign on Ash Wednesday, where we pray very specifically for certain individuals during Lent. On Saturday, April 13th, will be the fourth annual Protest PP, which will be a nationwide candlelight vigil co-sponsored with 40 Days for Life. This will be an ideal midpoint event for 40 Days for Life. And very simply, that candlelight vigil will be an evening, a Saturday evening event. And so it's not going to be when there's clients coming to Planned Parenthood. It's not going to be when there's, clinic escorts there. It'll be the calm of the evening and on that weekend. So really, really focused on prayer, really focused on invoking, you know, God's blessing on our work, invoking the Holy Spirit to, especially to awaken our fellow citizens, because, again, that will come right in the wake of the unplanned movie. So Americans will be thinking about Planned Parenthood, pro-life people will be fired up and wanting to do something, and this would be an ideal way to get people engaged who have been turned on to their need to be involved with this movement because of that movie, coming to a very peaceful candlelight evening vigil on that Saturday. And we'll be sending out much more information about that event as we get closer to that date and signing people up for that. Just a few days after that will come the Way of the Cross for Victims of Abortion on Friday, April 19th. Then on Friday, June 28th, will be the second annual National Pro-Life Bridges Day. We had 50 teams around the country participating in this inaugural Pro-Life Bridges Day back in June of 2018. We reached over a million. It was way beyond our wildest hopes. Over a million highway commuters on that one day during rush hour with our pro-life banners that say abortion takes a human life. We'll be out there again on Friday, June 28th, and we're going to be signing on some new teams. So if you want to get involved with this, if you wanted to last year and we didn't, you know, get in time because we were, you know, only had the 50 kits to offer, that's going to be coming your way. So be on the lookout for that expansion of Pro-Life Bridges Day. Again, the week of May 20th will be the nationwide Stericycle protest we're doing with Created Equal out of Columbus, Ohio. In that conversation we had with Mark. On Saturday, September 14th, is the 7th Annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children that we're doing with Citizens for Pro-Life Society and with Priests for Life. And then finally, on Saturday, December 14th or 21st or any other day that works for you in December, we'll be doing the Peace in the Womb Christmas Caroling. And now I'd like to turn to you guys to see if you have just one or two questions that we could take. I'm sorry that we've gone so late. I don't want to keep this call going too long, because I've already kept you a little while. But if we have anyone who'd like to ask a question, you press *6 on your phone, *6, and then 1 to confirm that unmuting so you can ask your question. And we'll see if we can take. All right. Sorry for the pause there. A little moment of pause before we get our question and answer session going. You need to, again, press *6 to unmute yourself to be able to join into the question and answer session. We have a question from the 763 area code. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, 763.
Hi, Eric. This is Brian Walker, Program Director at Pro-Life Action Ministries with Brian Gibson. I don't know if Brian's on the line or not, but also in the mix, Good Friday. We'll be having that on at the 19th over at the Planned Parenthood here. And also encourage other areas to consider doing Good Friday services there and also incorporate local pastors. So I wonder if that's something that you would be doing and other folks on the line as well.
Thanks so much, Brian. You guys are really the leaders, the inspiration for this Way of the Cross for Victims of Abortion. I remember talking to Brian Gibson about this in Washington, D.C. years ago, which is when I first started to think of this as something we wanted to do on a national scale, because I was so impressed with what you guys were doing. So thanks for that encouragement. We've done it on a smaller scale here near the Aurora Mega Center in Illinois, but for those on the call who participated in this event, folks up in the Twin Cities do a much longer event throughout the whole day on Good Friday. They have different local clergy cycle in and out. It's a really exciting way to do this. Well, I don't see any other questions in the queue, so I'm going to say goodnight to you guys now. As we go, I'd like to hand it over to our tech guy, Matt Yonke. Again, Matt is somebody many of you know from communicating with him through email and on the phone. I thought it would be nice for Matt to offer our closing prayer this evening. Are you with us, Matt, on the phone?
Hi, Eric. Yeah, great to be here. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you you folks that have led events over the past years. It's been really since 2012 we've been leading these nationwide events, and it's been such an honor to do. We've got over 1,000 leaders all over the country who have done stuff with us in these last last year since 2012. And so it's been such an honor. And so it's great to be on the phone with you guys tonight talking about our new initiatives. And I look forward to the coming year of activism. So let's close this in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you so much for this time together to get our plans together for the new year. We pray that as we go forward, you would bless us with creativity, that you would bless us with endurance, that you would bless us with camaraderie and esprit de corps with our fellow workers in this pro-life movement, and that you would give us success in the coming year. Lord, we'll ask boldly that you bless our efforts this year in a new way, in a special way, and give us results, Lord. And whatever your will is for us this year, we pray that you would be with us and show us the way forward. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt, for that beautiful prayer. And thanks all of you for joining the 2019 Pro-Life Plan of Action conference call. I'm very excited to be working together with all of you this year. Please do watch for that email tomorrow with notes from the call with a link to the recording. So you can, if you need to review any parts of that or if you want to share that with your team members in your town, that would be great. There'll also be a link to the Pro-Life Plan of Action survey, which will be your chance to offer more feedback on everything you've heard on the call this evening. And, of course, we're always available to answer your questions or help you with anything that you might need. Thanks again for coming on the call. God bless you for your activism, and may you have a blessed night.
Good night, all.